Blog Talk Radio.
Bring it all down.
Talk about the water being shut off in Detroit, and then
Oh yeah.
Let's definitely talk about that some. And then I sent out a link this last week on Facebook about some specific numbers on SWAT actions in America, and I want to go over some of those too. I want to talk about that a little bit, how bad it's gotten. It was jaw dropping for me, and I knew in general terms how bad it was, but then. You know, they've got these actual figures of what's really happening with SWAT teams across the country. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And what else do I got, man? I want to talk a little bit about that book. You know what? I think Detroit seems to be the cool thing lately, man. From just reading this book that I mentioned last week, Detroit is the place to be. And it talks all about the last few chapters are – about how they're gaining tours, and they're gaining, like, this disaster-porn tourism now, Detroit is, where he was saying you can't even post a picture on, like, Tumblr or whatever without getting people from especially, like, Scandinavia and Northern Europe asking if you give tours of the city. And he's saying all these people are coming in, touring the city and watching and, you know, going to see the decay and shit of the city. So it's becoming apparently a fad, man, with like Europeans and stuff like that. But
That's not what we will really want to be known for.
But it is at this point, though, man. Part of that book was that Detroit is at such a low ebb in its history, maybe for the entire all of North America, maybe, you know, I mean, just in terms of where it's at right now, that there are limitless possibilities for the city at this point. I mean, they're talking about those massive zones and you know, all kinds of crazy shit like that.
They're putting it off. So like my buddy, they're doing a big community garden and just empty lots where there used to be houses. They had, you know, they have to clean up the topsoil too because some of it's contaminated from whatever lead-based paints and stuff. But they clean that up, and then they have whole big empty lots that they just make big giant community gardens and stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, there's lots of stuff like that that's going on. I mean, you said, it is it's kind of a starting from ground zero now. You know, literally. I mean,
people are thinking, what can we do now? You know, what can we do with the city? And they're talking about having inner-city orchards and shit. You know, and I think that'd be
a
great
fucking
idea.
Buying houses. Oh yeah, they're doing a lot of that kind of stuff. We had
right in the middle of the fucking city, so that people can just go and grab, take care of it.
We had a young couple visited us. We didn't even know them. They called. They were referred to my wife, that sits on this community council, and she's the vice president of our neighborhood committee. And she gave a tour to this young couple. They were like probably late 20s or mid late 20s, both college educated, both had decent jobs, and they were looking to buy a house. In a neighborhood that's below ours, it's really a real rundown neighborhood, but they got a deal on a really nice big house. You know, we're going to put a bid on this house, and it's just like a small mansion, but needs a little work, but they got it real cheap, but it's in a lot rougher area than we're even in. So they were talking to us, and I told them, I wouldn't want to move there, but you don't have kids, this, that, you got to think about a lot of stuff. I said, I would, for the same money or whatever, I would look at our neighborhood. So she took them around through our neighborhood, and they're going to buy a house here. They love it. You know, we showed them all the best streets and the best, my wife took them around and showed them all the, where she would like, if she could find a house, where she would want to go to. So, I mean, we get a lot of young professional people are moving into our neighborhood.
That's what the last of his book was talking about, is that
land
is so cheap that a lot of startup businesses, young 20-somethings, are moving back into Detroit and starting, starting these businesses from scratch, being able to buy, a building or a house or whatever for super cheap and just, start from ground zero right in the city. So, yeah, it was an interesting book. I mean, it was pretty expansive about the city and a lot of the mayoral races and stuff all the way up to Dugan. He talked about Dugan quite a bit towards the end. But, yeah, it was a pretty good book, man. I thought it was interesting. You know, he toured all these, the Packard plant and Grand Station, where that used to be, where the bus station and train station was at. And, that thing's completely – what I didn't know is the dude that owns the Ambassador Bridge, that Arab, owns Grand Central Central Station also.
Right, yeah.
And he's been talking about putting a casino in there.
Huh.
So
what
was interesting is that site on Facebook, that Curbed Detroit, where it shows, development in the city and shit – they're showing windows going in and elevators and shit going into that Grand Central or Central Station.
Well, they have to do that. I guess they said before they do any kind of renovation or do anything, they have to put windows and elevators in there for freight to move construction and stuff. So
they must do something in that building. I mean, but they haven't announced anything so it's kind of cryptic how they're doing all kinds of work to it and all.
Well, they can't just put a casino in there. They have to have the casino rights or whatever. They can't
It has to be a casino. But who knows, man?
Yeah.
With Detroit and the casino industry,
hey,
down there, it's pretty wide open, man. I mean, it's Wild West, man. Greek Town Casino. I mean, how many casinos are down there now? Four, five, something
There's
like that.
Three big ones.
Yeah.
But then you got the Windsor, you got the Caesars, which is right across the, it's right across the bridge. So that's basically the fourth one within a short trip.
Yeah, there's a lot of fucking casinos in the state nowadays, dude. The Indians have finally gotten revenge, man. The Indians have gotten revenge on the white man. It's through the fucking one-armed bandit.
Yeah, they're going to get the reparations one way or another.
Right. They figured it out. They finally got it figured out.
And they should, too.
They got wiped out.
Fuck, man. Get wiped out, fucking genocide.
Yeah.
You know, I was arguing with this one guy. This guy's like an argumentative guy, kind of a friend of a friend. And every time I post anything on there, he just posts some kind of counterpoint all the time, even if he would probably normally agree with me. He just likes to argue. And we started arguing, and he got on the whole thing about the Redskins, the Washington Redskins. Why should we change the name? It's not offensive. I said, dude, I talked to Sitting Bull's great grandson out at the Crazy Horse Monument years ago, and when we were out in Wyoming, out west, and I said, man, when you listen to him tell those stories, you know, about the Black Hills massacres and all that, and all the stuff that they went through, and you know, his people went through, man, it's just sickening. It just makes you start openly bawling. You know, it's so sad and so horrible. And he was just, you know, I just basically said, you know, why don't you go talk to a Native? He goes, I have talked to Native Americans because they don't care about it. I said, well, it's basically like using the N-word for them. You know, that's what a lot of them say.
Yeah.
He's like, not all of them. And I'm like, well, even if it's some of them, I mean, why can't they just call the team the Reds, like Cincinnati Reds or whatever?
There you go.
You can keep your racist undertone to yourself, and you don't have to use the full name, you know.
Well, you mentioned they're called like the Black Skins. And the dude is like someone smiling with an afro or something, you know.
The dark.
Same as the Cleveland Indians logo. That Cleveland Indians logo
Wahoo.
In Mexico after the Redskins, man.
Yeah. I think it kind of has gone in.
Smile and shit, you know.
I don't think they use it anymore. I don't even know if they use that Chief
Wahoo.
Well,
Cleveland? Oh hell yeah, they do, dude.
It ain't on their uniform. I know that.
Watching the Indians, huh?
It ain't on their uniform no more.
Yeah, it is, dude. Yeah, it is.
Last time the Tigers played them, bro.
I'd be willing to put money down on that. They still have it on their uniform.
That might be a throwback uniform.
No.
It might be a throwback.
Oh, it's their logo, man. It's their logo. Right? What's their logo, man? Just like the old English D for the Tigers and whatever else, man. The C for Cincinnati. That's their logo, the Smiling Indians still.
Well, anyways, we were kind of going on and argued about that. And I said, who the hell are you, General Custard's great grandson, or great great grandson? He was laughing. I'm just like, man, oh man. You know, it's like why? That's why it's my same point. I always belabor this point all the time on Facebook. But it's like, why do you give a shit about fighting a battle for a multi billionaire? Who gives a fuck about Daniel Snyder and the Washington Redskins? I don't care about their team anyways. Why are you fighting? Let him fight his battles about that in court. Why are you picking up for him? That's the stupidest thing we have in this country is we got poor people and working poor people and lower middle class fighting battles for rich, super rich,
billionaires and corporations and shit.
Taking up for them and bitching at other poor people saying, you know, they should be able to do what they want. It's, you know, freedom. I don't give a fuck, you know. Let them fight their own battles. Why are you even concerned about saving them money or saving them money so they don't have to change their logo or whatever? I don't give a fuck about them.
They think it's
suckers.
More of like a
–
this is a thing that they're so – you know, of course, Fox TV and whatever else has convinced them that this is so, but that it's a moral issue. It's an individual right issue where he should be able to say what he wants and, you know, no matter who it offends or whatever else. And
freedom
you know,
of speech.
Right. That's where he comes on. But what it ends up doing is just what you're saying, defending billionaires, man, and corporations. And that's what they don't get. I mean, they'd rather stand for this dude that would no sooner spit on the motherfucker than, you know, whatever else, because he thinks it's some sort of moralistic issue or amendment issue, you know. And that's how it is now, man. The corporations are being defended. But they've got an entire media network set up for that, you know. I mean, if you're rich and or a corporation, you've got a single channel 24 hours a day plus some, you know, beating your drum, no matter what it is.
Right. Yep, that's true. I mean, we've been talking about it for a while now, but, you know, and it kind of leads into the whole, you know, the Hobby Lobby thing, is that, you know, I think it all kind of started, well, it originally started back in 1990 or 93 when Clinton got having a corporation get, it was a couple years ago the corporations were being looked at as having a person, you know, they were having the rights of a person as an individual. But I think it was in Clinton, under Clinton, they passed the, RFRA,
I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, in 93 they passed the law that's what it opened up. What it started was, two Indians, American Indians had gotten kicked off unemployment, and so they sued for their unemployment or whatever federally, and they won, so that they ended up changing the law because of it. And I can't find what that is. But
corporations, they are considered, you know, people and Mitt Romney argued that during the election, you know, when people were yelling out at him, he said, "Corporations are people, my friend," you know, out to some dude in the crowd that was talking back to him about it. And you know, this is the thing about where corporatism is fascism, right? When corporations are running the government and have control over the media and in the laws of the nation, it's fascism. That's exactly the definition of it. And when you've got these single corporations that can do anything they want as a person, you know, they get all the rights of an individual. At least according to our Supreme Court nowadays, they get all the rights of an individual, but they don't suffer any consequences of it.
Right.
You know, if a corporation's responsible for a faulty product that kills people, as in GM, how come those people aren't going to jail? They knew it was happening. If a corporation is a person, they own a personhood, they share the rights or own the rights of an individual, then those people within that organization need to be going to jail if they're causing harm. And it ain't happening, man. It ain't happening.
Well, they got the best of both worlds. That was a couple years ago they passed that, but it was 93 under Clinton passed it. It was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and it was meant to restore, you know, religious freedom within the, you know, federally.
I wonder how the hell he got that through. But you know,
it's federal.
And now
a
corporation's going to be able to call anything a religious exemption. Anything they want to do is a religious exemption.
The Hobby Lobby one's supposed to only be for that specific thing, for the reproductive stuff, but for the birth control. But to me, it says it's not supposed to go over to anything else, but. To me, it kind of opens a big Pandora's box on that.
Anything. It's going to be applied to whatever. You can't just say, oh, it's, you know, just this one specific thing. Well, why? I mean, if they want a religious exemption from, I don't know, whatever else, man, I mean, you know, you know, it could extend to anything. So I don't know, man. It just all goes back to the Supreme Court. This is the thing, dude. The Supreme Court, I mean, we not only have probably the worst one or maybe two presidents consecutively, we may have the very worst Supreme Court in the history of the country and probably the worst Congress all at the same time, man. I mean, that can't be a coincidence, right? I mean,
it's
at some point, you got to figure that this shit's going on deliberately. I mean, we're looking at these people, we're calling these people, you know, useless and they can't accomplish anything, whatever else. At some point, you got to know it's deliberate, man.
Yeah,
I mean, how does it happen that our entire federal legislative system, executive, judicial and legislative is the worst it's ever been in the entire country, in the history of the country.
They can't even follow the Constitution at all. I mean, they're constantly, even from the executive level, the president, everything. He violates the Constitution. He does stuff without Congress's knowledge.
Drone strikes.
Bush did it. I mean,
yeah.
none of them are following anything. They're all rogue, man. They all went completely. They're just doing whatever they want. I mean, and they don't follow the Constitution. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's got to be the basis for decisions in our country, right? As the three branches of our federal government, it's got to be the basis for decisions. And they just fucking throw it away. They throw it out the window, man. All three branches.
I mean,
a separation between church and state in the very fucking First Amendment of our Constitution, you've got the Supreme Court ruling on a religious case that has
right.
wide ranging effects affecting the government, whatever else.
Right.
I mean, constantly.
You know,
7 years of college down the drain.
Yeah, and I was going to say, Obama's a constitutional lawyer. Well, how come, where the heck is he at,
It's like he went to Harvard to gain a law degree in constitutional law to be able to sidestep it whenever the fuck he wants now as president. It's like it almost was like, yeah, I'm going to do this so in the future I'll be able to do whatever the fuck I want, But it doesn't even matter whether, most of the cops in the U.S. have no idea of what the Constitution says, and there should be their basis for upholding laws, and no one, man. I mean, it's just I don't know what it is. I mean, what is guiding our government right now, the federal levels of our government? I mean, what's guiding? And you look every time, it's money and corporations.
Right. That's
money and corporations are running our government.
Right.
At every level. I mean, when you've got fucking guys in the Supreme Court where their wives are ardent pro Tea Party members, like Clarence Thomas's wife, or
right.
Scalia, who's just so fucking repugnant, man.
Yeah.
But I mean, especially, I mean, Clarence Thomas, in the history that he's been on the court, he has almost never said anything. He's been on the Supreme Court like 20-some years, I believe, plus now. And that motherfucker has said almost nothing on the bench. Almost nothing.
Right.
In 20 years.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Well, all these guys are basically these judges and the whole judicial system and the law enforcement and everything, basically all they are is paid security for these corporations.
Right.
All it is all they are is
friends,
they're fucking they're paid employees for the corporate juggernaut that runs our country. You know, and the government's just basically there to pass the laws to help them make more money and help get more control and more power and keep the military industrial complex going. Even though nobody wants it, nobody wants to keep spending trillions of dollars on all these wars, but nobody wants it. But I was just watching a video. I believe it was one of the Chomsky videos, and he basically said that 70% of the people, at least 70% of the people in the United States, have no impact at all on anything that's going on that matters in this country as far as the government.
Yeah.
They have no impact. They can't do anything. A lot of them don't care, but a lot of them, even that care, have no impact. They can't do anything. They have no way of changing anything. They're just basically nothing.
What are you going to do, though, dude? As an average citizen, I mean, you look at some of these people, and specifically back to Detroit again, man, and they've suffered
right.
generations of poverty. It's institutional racism. I got in a huge debate. It could pretty much argue with my dad one time about that, and he was saying that it's bullshit that there's ever been institutionalized racism in the country. And he goes, the Chinese had it just as bad as the black people did, And I said, well, in some cases that's true, but there has been institutionalized racism. That's bullshit, you know. That everybody, you know. And I go, well, I tell you what, you tell me the next time the a Chinese dude had to go to the back of the bus because it was a law, or had to drink from a different drinking fountain, or use a different bathroom. That's institutionalized racism, and it was all the way into the 60s. I mean, just 50 years ago, you know?
Jim Crow, just 50 years ago. So.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's destroyed generations, and it's just, I think that's what's happened to Detroit, man. I mean, NAFTA was passed. All those jobs in Detroit were farmed out to Mexico and China and India and wherever else, and within fucking, you know, 15, 20 years, those jobs evaporated, man, across the world.
Right.
You see some coming back. I think Quicken moved back into Detroit. He's a pro Detroit guy, and he brought like 400 jobs back into downtown or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Swatch moved back. Didn't they? The watchmaking company, I think, moved into Detroit also.
No, not Swatch. It's another watch.
Not Swatch. What was it? It was a watchmaking company, though.
No,
it's, and they moved back into Detroit.
Who? No, it wasn't Swatch. It was.
I don't know. I have to think about it.
They're real high end watches. They make bikes too. I know who you're talking about.
Oh, do they?
Well,
they brought some jobs back into Detroit too, man. So.
Yeah,
I went to the store not too long ago, but it's
not Swatch. God, I can't think of the name of it. It's kind of a weird name. They're like real high-end watchmakers, clockmakers, and they also make bikes, and they have a bunch of stuff in the store. You know, they have, you know, coolie shirts, hats, all that stuff, but they have a lot
Rolex
of stuff
in
there.
Rolex is made in Switzerland, right? So probably not that.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I don't know. That's what's been going on is everything is owned by corporations. It's run by them through our government. I mean, almost every single law that's passed or is decided on by the Supreme Court or whatever else favors the corporation over the individual. I mean, you think of just this court alone, some of the shit that the Supreme Court has ruled on, like eminent domain bullshit, where if a city finds that if they bring a Walmart into a certain area, they have the right to knock down houses and kick people out for the sake of the tax revenue.
Right.
You know, if they're going to make money off of it, bye-bye, see you later. And all because of money, tax revenue, they're able to kick people out of their houses now, no matter where they live or what they do, whatever else. So that was decided on. And, you know, all the shit, they still haven't been willing to make any rulings on like the Patriot Act, or even any provisions of, like, the Patriot Act or anything like that. None of that they've been even willing to even touch with a fucking 10-foot pole. But anything that improves a corporation's standing, they're going to fucking pass that law and make sure that it happens, you know, and keep grinding on the little guy, man.
Yeah. I don't think it's so much as it's malicious towards citizens and people. I just think they're indifferent. I think they just don't care. It's like Chomsky
was saying.
Yeah,
same thing in the end, though, dude. I mean, in the end, that's almost the same
thing. The police, they are not here to protect us. The military is there just to protect corporate interests, oil and everything. Every decision, he was saying, even back to like just post-World War II, he said everything that they've ever did militarily and decisions they made, he said, is never for public safety. It's always to keep state power or to, you know, make money for companies or whatever. They never do anything for public safety. It's never for that reason. It's never to liberate people and bring democracy somewhere. They don't care about that. It's not about that. And he went through almost every conflict what we've had, and he shows that, you know, he said even in the one everybody always praises Kennedy for backing down the Russians in the Cuban Missile Crisis, he said that he put us at great risk, and that actually they said that's not widely known, but Khrushchev was trying to have arms reductions talks with Kennedy, and he wouldn't do it. They were like, no, they wouldn't. They didn't even want to. they were big, the U.S., we kept building up nuclear arms when Russia was bankrupt, and they kept trying to reduce it, and they kept trying to get out of it and wanted to quit making nuclear weapons and quit trying to match us. And the whole time, we would just kept blowing them off. We never wanted to do it, you know.
Yeah.
We always wanted that threat there. We always wanted that Russian threat. You know, we always have to have that enemy all the time. You know,
well, you know, it was also money too, man. We had a lot more money than they did, and they wouldn't be able to keep up with spending the way we were on nuclear weapons and whatever else. But you know, you look in the end, man. They dissolved as a country, lost about a third of their area, and
right.
You know, they're still. I mean, you know, they're probably better off now than they were before. You know, they basically had an economic collapse, and that law made a third of the country go away into other countries. You know, they basically had an economic collapse. And now they're probably living better than they have in, who knows, maybe ever, Russians. You know,
right?
And you know, so it does. Who does? And now we're left with the fucking economic burden of you know, policing the world. You know. And we call it that, but
right.
It goes back to what you're saying. It's protecting vital interests, vital corporate interests. We're out there securing natural resources for the military industrial complex. You know, and that's really why we're playing guards to the ore fields and the everything else,
right.
Man. The precious minerals out there and shit.
Yep. Yeah, I don't know. I put that information on that. I had kind of a funny incident happen. My wife had given me a package to go mail at the post office a couple days ago, and I went to our local post office, and I looked, and there was a bunch of billboards sitting out there in front of it, and it had a lot of pictures of Obama on it and stuff, and all these big, huge banners, impeach Obama, and it was a guy, I can't remember his first name, I think it was like Lyndon, it was the LaRouche Pack, was the name of the political organization.
Uh-huh.
And I pulled
Lyndon
in there.
LaRouche.
Yeah. And so I'm walking in there, and I knew it was trouble because it was a white dude, and it's in a mostly black area, and man, these black people were going crazy. They were calling me, because he has this big picture of Obama with a Hitler mustache.
And I was like,
he was trying to talk to me as I was walking in. I said, I'll talk to you on the way out because I got to get this mail. I don't want to die before I try to mail it. So I go in there. I mail the package. I come out. There's this black woman. She's screaming at me. She's like, you racist motherfucker. Get the fuck out of here. She's screaming at me. And there's this other guy, black guy, behind her cheering her on, going, you want fascism? He goes, you're going to get fascism. He's just going, just screaming. I'm like, oh, boy, here we go. So, anyways, they walked away, and I started talking to the guy, and I said, let me ask you a question. I said, were you out here protesting Bush and Cheney for their war crimes and everything? Were you trying to get them in peace? He said, yes, we were. He said, they filed a lawsuit against them. He was like, he said, we'd do the same thing with Obama. He goes, it's no different. It's not racist. He goes, I said, well, dude, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, you are in the wrong area bringing that picture of Obama with a Hitler mustache. I said, you're asking to get your ass beat.
Yeah.
He goes, I know. He goes, it's rough. He goes, but we're trying to get, he goes, we got to attract attention. And he goes, it's the only way we can do it. And I'm like, well, I said, you're not going to get much sympathetic ear. Nobody's going to really listen to you here. Everybody thinks you're a racist. And I was like, so I started talking to him. He started going back and forth about, he was talking about their economic plan. It was like the Franklin Roosevelt plan back to the 30s where, you know, basically everything's capped, all capital interests are capped, everything's capped. There's no free trade. They get rid of all these free trade agreements and everything. You know, I think you probably seen some of it I sent you. But I was talking to him, and I basically kind of found out. I'm like, well, I agree with a lot of the stuff. I mean, I agreed with him, you know, so he gave me his literature. I kind of took back and half read it when I got home, but I was like, you know, just wonder what you thought about it, if you looked at it much or you looked into it or what you thought about him. But I did agree with a lot of the stuff that he was talking about, you know, that could turn the country around and everything.
Yeah.
He's got a little bit of conspiracy theories, you know, in him and stuff. He's, you know, I don't know how linked he is to the whole, you know, the InfoWars and all that. But yeah, guys start getting a little feeling
Trump's
about that. But
I think
yeah,
they're
when
all
white
boys
up, though,
from whatever I've seen of them. And I don't.
Right.
I think they go. He goes way back. That Lyndon LaRouche has been running for president for years. Like for the last, he's been on the ticket, and I forgot the party he runs under, but he's been. I'm pretty sure he's been on the presidential ticket for like the last 5 or 6 elections or something like that.
Yeah, he's an older guy. His son's been on it now too. His son's pushing.
You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, free trade in the end. That's always like you know the less you know, less barriers you have to trade for in trade is you know better for the economy, whatever else. I don't know, man. I mean, that's what NAFTA was. You know, man, that's what NAFTA was. That's what this Pacific Partnership that they're talking about on the Pacific Rim. It's all secret talks and shit.
Get rid of all that stuff.
He was
saying, like, you know, they want to get rid of NAFTA. They want to get rid of all this stuff. They don't want no.
That would be good.
They don't want no trade. They don't want no trade agreements or no free trade at all. Because he said the free trade. Well, that's what kind of screws up. When they can, like, illegally dump, you know, not illegally, but when they can illegally dump steel in, like, China and Korea and the U.S., it screws up the whole steel market and everything.
Yeah.
All that stuff,
yeah.
You know. Then we have to put tariffs on them and everything to get it back to, you know, it's just this constant cycle of going down into the dirt. Then we break all the unions and we negotiate shitty contracts because the company's in the dirt. Then they go, then after they get a nice contract negotiate with the union for the company, then we start going back up again and start making money because they put the tariffs back on the steel, foreign steel. It's all bullshit, man. It's the whole thing is a big fucking shell game, dude.
Well, in the end,
you really
it's trying to drive down wages. I mean, when you give up those concessions, they almost never come back again. Almost never. You know, the big three have got that fucking two-tiered pay rate now. Basically you're grandfathered in if you've been there a while, but if you're a new hire there, they hire you in at like fucking $14-$15 an hour.
Well, there's hardly
which is
anybody
barely
making
a livable
old
wage nowadays.
Right. There's hardly anybody making that old time rate though, because they're pretty much all bought out now.
Yeah. Right. There's a few left,
you know,
not many. My cousin's been working at Ford for 32 years.
Wow.
32, man. He's not even that old.
He should be able to retire.
He started in his 20s. He just doesn't want to retire, I guess. I don't know, man. He's on the good wage tier, you know. And this is the interesting part about this dude is he bitches about unions all the time, man. He can't stand unions. And not too much around me, but he bitches to my dad. My dad was a tool and die maker for 25 years, UAW.
Right.
So my dad's like, what the fuck you bitching to me about, you know? I don't want to hear it, you know.
He hates
unions now, and I'm thinking, dude, you'd be making the $14 an hour they're hiring in at right now if it wasn't for a union, you know.
Right.
He's probably making $28-$30 an hour, I bet. He's been there 30 years,
probably.
You know, if not more, you know. So he's bitching about unions,
and
that's the only reason he's making the wage he is.
He's a tool and die maker?
My dad was. I don't know what he does. I'm not sure what he does.
If he's tool and die at Ford, he's probably making $40 an hour or $30
at
least.
My dad was tool and die at Chrysler. I'm not sure what he does. He works right on the line. I don't think he's tool. I don't think he's skilled trade.
Yeah,
but,
he probably makes like $28 an hour.
Yeah, but he's been there 32 years. I mean, I could be wrong. He's been there long enough where I'm sure he's doing something, you know, fairly advanced. That's another one of those, man, you know, voting against your self-interest, these people living in trailers, voting Republican, or a dude working on the assembly line, you know, hating the unions. And this is his thing, which I can understand, is he hates the unions because it keeps people in their jobs that are totally unqualified on certain occasions or just plain should be fired. And, you know, the unions make the employer go through such a process to fire someone. But that's a good thing, man. I mean, you're going to have up people in any major system. Including the UAW.
That, it saves people from getting fired that shouldn't get fired, though, too. I mean,
right.
There's some people, a boss may just take a disliking to them. And if you're not in a union, they can just fire you. But in there, a foreman has to go through all types of processes. They can't just fire you and then you never come back again. They have to prove stuff. They can't just, you know, he can't just say, well, he's not a good worker, he fucked up, so we're getting rid of him. They can't just, you know, they have to go through a disciplinary process. It takes a while. And,
yeah, this whole right-to-work bullshit, dude. Fucking Snyder's tearing the state down with all that shit. And, you know, I mean, just and that's the thing you see is a systematic attack against every sector of our economy that's unionized.
Right.
And now, right now, the, you know, the fashionable thing is to go after the Postal Service because they're unionized, the Postal Services, and then also teachers.
Right.
Those are the two right
yep.
now that are just getting hammered, you know, and they're trying to, you know, charter schools and you know, and deconstruct the unions in those two sectors of our economy. And it'll keep going on. I mean, you know, the UAW's been stripped, you know, they're just a shell of what they used to be, you know. So, but
yeah.
That's it, man. I mean, you're going to have those fucking people that ride the system out and suck and don't do anything at their jobs, no matter what large corporation or company you work for. It's always going to be there, and especially when you've got a union protecting some of those people that shouldn't be there. On the other side of it, though, man, are the people that work their asses off, and maybe their boss doesn't like them and wants to fire them for no reason, and you've got the union there protecting them. You know, they're doing a good job.
Right.
They're doing what they're supposed to be doing or above that and for any particular reason. You know, that's a right-to-work state now. Right-to-work, if you're, you know, they can fire for whatever the fuck they want to now in a right-to-work. I mean, if you're in that
yep.
environment, not in a union.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with this
yep,
area, dude. This area is a prime example of people voting against their own interests. Again, I live way the hell out in the middle of nowhere, man. I live in total farmland, mainly farmers, very unpopulated. But what is here are people that are almost all Republicans. And I can kind of see that from the farmers because they're very conservative, but there's not a lot of them. You drive around, you know, or cruise around down here in around the country roads and shit, and you can see rural poverty all over the place. And I can just about guarantee those people are voting Republican, man. You know, they don't have fucking two dimes to rub together, but they're voting for the
isn't that a daisy?
Giving you know, tax breaks. I mean, that's exactly what
yeah.
Snyder did, man. Going back to that motherfucker, he gives tax breaks to corporate $1.5 billion in tax breaks and then cuts
right.
the education budget.
Right.
What
I want to mention
fuck?
Snyder's the Michigan governor, if people don't know. We've probably got some people listening
yeah.
that are
yeah,
not
right.
from Michigan. But yeah.
He built himself
yeah, I mean,
as the nerd. You know, to be all kind
right.
of funny, geeky, and he comes in and he's a fucking, you know, throwing those emergency financial managers and you know, basically deconstructing democracy. He takes out the mayor of the city, the democratically elected mayor of whichever city
right.
he chooses that's not doing well financially, and places a financial planner in and allows them to claim bankruptcy, therefore breaking unions again. I mean, when you claim
right.
bankruptcy, you can go after people's pensions, you know,
right.
whatever else, man. I mean, in Detroit, they're going after the fucking DIA, after Detroit Institute of Art. They were talking about
mm-hmm.
selling off some of the great artworks of the world out of Detroit
right.
Institute of Art until some private donors came in and donated like $40 million to save DIA and those works of
yep.
art that were going to be just fucking sold off, like, you know, willy-nilly.
Pay off debt, yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, just destroying
so
the culture of the city,
stealing.
You know?
Oh, they're just stealing, really. I mean,
yeah.
And it's funny. It's all his buddies, all these lawyers that come in that, like, you know, that come in and do all this stuff. They're all getting paid huge, huge rates and money.
Big
He's been here for over a year now. These guys are making millions. These guys are making
yeah.
to basically divide up the pie amongst everything. You know,
right.
and these guys, you know, they're not coming in here making, you know, $100,000 or $80,000 or something. These guys are making hundreds and hundreds of thousands,
$300,000-$400,000 in some cases.
You know,
and you know, and they're just being paid to do Snyder's dirty work, dude. They're paying. They're being paid to come in, destroy the city, break it down, break any union that's there, sell off any goods they can, privatize everything they can in that city, and then give the city back to the mayor again.
They got rid of the whole waste management department. And they privatized that with a private company. Came in, got all those accounts. So, I mean, it's just, you know, and they a lot of them
guys.
Look
at the fucking water,
they,
dude. We were talking about this is unbelievable, man. This just fucking explodes my mind that we are about to, as a city, as a state, as a country, shut off water to 150,000 people. 100 to start. 150 fucking thousand people, dude. We're shutting water off. We've got the ACLU is appealing to the United Nations for help so that they don't fucking shut the water off to these people.
Right.
What the fuck is going on, dude? Dude, we give out we give $37 billion a year in foreign aid. We spend an additional $700 billion in military, which I think is foreign aid. You know, we're over in these countries occupying them, paying for the people in the country to support the military that's there. $700 billion, you're talking $2 billion a day. A day we spend on the military. $36 billion a year in foreign aid, and we can't fucking... We can't see to it that 150,000 people in the city of Detroit receive water? What the fuck is going on, dude?
I know. They charge you for water, electricity, charge you for everything, you know, natural occurring stuff. They tax you for your fucking land. Everything is taxed. They charge you for everything. Next, when they get the solar energy, they're going to be charging us for fucking sunlight. It's gonna be nothing's gonna be free. They're gonna have air. It's gonna charge you for clean air. They're gonna find a way to charge you for everything. You ain't gonna be able to do anything.
Yeah.
You're not gonna be able to fucking breathe, drink water, or have sunlight without fucking.
Well,
if you have
know,
a garden,
and this is it.
If
dude.
You have a big garden with a lot of plants, they're gonna say, well, you're using up more sunlight. So we're gonna, I bet you about 10-15 years. They're going to say, because you have a lot more vegetation and you've got these high-absorbing sunlight plants that are in your yard, you're going to pay a sunlight tax because now we have less sunlight because of the ozone and everything or this or that. They're going to come up with some bullshit, dude. I'm telling you.
Water's the big one, dude. Water's the big one because, you know, life doesn't exist
you gotta have
without
water.
It. If you've heard lately, man, the fucking CEO of Nestle, they're a massive food corporation. Massive.
Water. Yeah, they control a lot of
water.
They've been buying up water like crazy.
Right. Yeah, he's saying that people should be charged for the water no matter how they get it, how they obtain it, where it comes from. And I tell you what, this shit's happening everywhere, dude. Out west, you know, because water's so tight out there, you got to own water. You got water rights out west, dude. I lived down in Colorado for 15 years. And this you hear this shit all the time, man. Farmers have to buy into these water rights into like an aqueduct where they say, well, I've got a half hour of rights where the water's flowing through this aqueduct where I can open it up and that water's dispersed into my fields for my crops and shit. But they have laws out in Colorado now and in several states out west where you can't collect your own rainwater off your house. Dude, you can't collect it. They will ticket you and eventually throw you in jail for having like rain barrels and collecting rain off of your house because that water ends up into fucking aquifers and wherever else where people that have bought into it, quote unquote, own the water.
Well, isn't that illegal in Michigan now? It's illegal in Michigan to have rain barrels.
Is it?
I'm pretty sure it is in Detroit.
Oh,
it is in Detroit.
You
can't have
crazy,
rain barrels,
man.
Dude.
The most basic necessities of life. They're trying to fucking, you know, they're charging for it everywhere you see it now. Well, I've got a rain barrel. Of course, it's not out at the moment, but fuck,
I think it's illegal in Michigan.
Man, That is crazy shit. And that is all. You want to talk about control of the population. You control the water supply. You know, that's almost like money, man. I mean, that's almost like the banks. You control the water supply. You especially like out west, you're fucking king, dude. If you fly into like DIA, into Denver International Airport, you can look down in every single spot of land that's where agriculture is being grown is in a circle. It's in a circle,
right?
Because of the fucking the water that's sent out through the fucking systems, you know. I'm trying to think of the fucking name of the thing that shoots the goddamn water. I can't think of the name of the crops.
Sprinkler.
But that's the only way that those that crops even grow in like Colorado. That's the only way. They won't grow without having water sent to the irrigation systems. And these fuckers go in a circle around and water, you know, everything. And if you try to grow something without an irrigation system, you can't in Colorado because there's not enough water. So there's so much dependent upon fucking water, especially out west, man. You see, like fucking the Colorado River doesn't even make it to the ocean anymore, man. It's so dammed and diverted that it doesn't even fucking make it. The river that carved the fucking Grand Canyon doesn't even make it to the ocean anymore. So. That's the big thing coming up, dude. It's fucking water, and that motherfucker from Nestle is setting that shit up. He's already laying the fucking foundation for people not having a basic right to water, right there.
Right. I think that what's his name? The big Texas oil tycoon Pickens.
Yeah.
He's buying up all types of water rights everywhere, too, and all that. He's been doing that for like 10, 12 years. He's been buying all the water rights everywhere. And mineral rights.
Dude, all the oil's
gone,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how he made his money. So what else? Now he's fucking buying up the water.
Right.
He's pretty influential. I don't know, dude. It's insane. And especially in a state like Michigan, man, I'm surprised that water barrels are illegal because it rains all the fucking time, you know? Or used to. I mean, not so much lately, but, you know.
Last I heard, I think just like last year, they passed a law that said they were legal. And
that's
I have no idea why.
I'm wondering when it, you know. It seems at some point this country's going to have some sort of fucking Bastille Day, dude, just like the French. At some point people are just not going to fucking take it anymore, and they're going to – it's going to – you know, the Supreme Court or Congress or something, you know, because, there's going to be a flashpoint somewhere, and it seems like that these little things are happening around the country, this Bundy Ranch thing, and right or wrong or whatever, it's
well,
still
the
these
problem
things are
is
happening.
They have everybody divided,
you know?
Too much.
The only thing
that's stopping the Bastille Day type thing is everybody is so divided. They've got everybody so, I mean, they've got everybody so separated, you know, right, left, this right, left paradigm. I mean, it's just people can't see that. It's they're both, you know, it's coming from the same place. And people are, you know, hard, fast, liberal Democrats, and then they're fighting against the Republicans, and the Republicans are like liberal, you know, scum, you know, lazy, you know, hippies. I mean, it's just this big divide, and the only way it would ever be able to be defeated would that have to come together. And the only way I know how is basically, I mean, I play both sides. You know, you know, you're kind of the same way. I mean, I agree with a lot of liberal Democrats on a lot of stuff, more than the Republicans. But then sometimes, you know, I'll hear something from a Tea Party, and I'll be like, well, I agree with that. You know, I mean, I don't disagree 100% with everything they say. You know, a lot of things, a lot of stuff I agree with it. But, I mean, everybody always feels like they're completely right. I feel like my stance and where I'm at is completely right. You know, I feel like I'm right, and I'm kind of in the middle, you know, so I don't, I don't know.
I mean, you know, even the Tea Party, man, part of the Tea Party is they are recognizing that our military is way too fucking big, and our police forces are way too fucking big, you know, and that's part of them wanting a smaller government, which I absolutely believe in. I mean, you know, of course, they don't really give a shit about other people in general is my problem, or some parts
no.
of it where, you know, they don't want any social aid whatsoever. And, you know, a lot of these fucking hardcore Tea Party and Republican people, I mean, they want us to go back to fucking, you know, soup lines and shit. I mean, they
right.
want everybody living in fucking shacks again, you know, which
right.
is happening in a lot of parts of the country. I mean, we've gone
but
back to wages regressing to, you know, Walmart. GM used to be in the 80s, GM, General Motors was the largest employer in the nation, and man, the average wage was like $25 an hour or something like that. Now
right.
it's Walmart, and the average age is $8.50 an hour.
Yeah.
How the fuck did that happen, you know?
You know, I mean, it isn't like inflation stopped either. It went way up.
Leasing of the middle class, dude. There's no more middle class. I mean, that shows you right in itself where the middle class has gone. They've gone down to working at Walmart jobs instead of General Motors.
Right.
You know? But I, you know, I, yep. so I, you know, so that's where they want the absolute, oh, no government regulations, whatever. And I think that's crazy.
Not good.
I mean, you got to have fucking the nuclear industry regulated. You got to have the
right.
financial industry regulated. And there's a bunch of regulations intact now that could do a whole lot to stop what's going on, and so they're just not doing it. That's the problem.
Well,
they're not being enforced.
That's what the LaRoche pack is about. They're real into regulating Wall Street. You're regulating the Fed, having the not get rid of the – I don't think they – well, they probably would like to get rid of the Federal Reserve, but I think they're like, it's got to be more of an open book. It's got to be taken over. It's got to be regulated, monitored. It can't just be, you know, have the autonomy that it's had, you know, if it's going to keep going. It's just all that stuff. I mean, they're pretty much about controlling everything and making sure, you know, nothing has, you know, total autonomy from the government, and, you know, and it can just do whatever it wants and fuck things up.
Yeah,
but,
you know, the
about.
Government has so much money. I mean, everybody but the middle class and the regular Joe's got money right now. The rich have got it. The government, you know, is flush with fucking money. They say we don't have any money, but here we are buying, you know, going further in debt, buying pretty new things for the military all the time, you know, while the country
right.
fucking falls apart. But, you know what, dude, I tell you what, I sent this out on Facebook. I mentioned this at the beginning of the show about this article, and it's on the freethoughtproject.com. And they do a lot of coverage of the militarization of our police forces and shit like that. And this article is called 10 Facts About the Swatification of America That Everyone Should Know. And the very first picture is it says police rescue on the front, and it's this fucking Bradley military tank. This guy's
yeah.
got a hatch. He's standing outside the hatch, and it's a fucking tracked vehicle. You know, it's got tracks on it like a tank.
Right.
And the motherfuckers is rolling down the street, and it says police rescue on the front of it. Yeah. So, all right. So anyway, so this is like there's just 10 facts that have been going on with the SWAT forces and the militarization of our police forces. And, you know, we've talked about this quite a bit, man. And this just backs up everything we've been saying since we started the show. But number one is
right.
In 1980, there were approximately 3,000 SWAT raids in the U.S. Now there are more than 80,000 SWAT raids per year in this country. 80,000 SWAT raids.
That's insane.
3,000 in 1980, only 34 years ago. 80,000
right.
now. 79, number two, 79% of the time, SWAT teams are deployed to private homes. Almost 80% of the time, they're invading a private residence. Number three.
I got one for
that. Bear?
What's that?
7 o'clock in the morning. Scotch?
I said, I got a sample for that.
I don't know if they'd go for that, man. They wouldn't care
no.
if that's all you had in your house anyway, which is one of the ones on here, too. 50%, here's the institutionalized racism deal. 50% of the victims of SWAT raids are either black or Latino. Number four, in 65% of SWAT deployments, a battering ram, boot, or some sort of explosive device is used to gain forced entry to a home. Let me read that one again. 65% of SWAT deployments, a battering ram, boot, or some sort of explosive device is used to gain entry into a home.
Man. Nice.
Number five, 62% of all SWAT raids involve a search for drugs. Of course they do. The great evil. Number six,
saving
at least
drugs.
36% of all SWAT raids, no contraband of any kind is found by the police. At least 36%.
So they blow your fucking door off the hinges. They horrify your family. Maybe even attack you.
Right.
And 35% of the time, nothing's even wrong.
Nothing at all in the house. Number seven, in cases where it is suspected that there is a weapon in the home, police only find a weapon 35% of the time.
Right.
Only a third of the time there is actually a weapon in these homes where they're invading. Number eight, more than 100 American families have their home raided by SWAT teams every single day. 100
wow.
American families. And if you look at it, I mean, you're talking 80,000 SWAT raids per year. They may not all be private residences, but you're talking over 200 SWAT raids every single day at 80,000 a year. Over 200 a day.
That's
all
crazy.
Right. Yeah, last two here. Only 7% of all SWAT deployments are for hostage, barricade, or active shooter scenarios, which is what they started as. Only 7% are there to help a hostage some kind or barricade situation.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, even small towns are getting SWAT teams now, which we've been talking about forever. 30 years ago, only 25.6% of communities with populations between 25 and 50,000 people had a SWAT team. Now that number has increased to 80%. So in a town of 25 to 50,000 people, 80% of those towns have a SWAT team.
That's nuts.
Fuck, dude. And this is so when you're talking these crazy motherfucking Tea Party dude, in the media portrays him, goes to the craziest motherfucker. They make a beeline for that dude first, of course. You know, he's in the Uncle Sam outfit and shit. But the Tea Party is right in the fact that our government is too large with our military and police forces, man. Way too big, way too much money, harming and injuring way too many innocent people. Way too many. So, that's part of fucking the government being too big, man. I mean, in all of our military, we send all these fucking half-track Bradley military vehicles overseas. We use them up. We're done with them. We have no use for them. We send them back in the fucking military for these tiny towns, starts using them, you know? And, I tell you what, dude. Before, I don't know, do you remember when it was 2 or 3 years ago when that militia came out and they were supposedly going to attack the state capitol or something. They were plotting plans to raid Washington, D.C. or something. And there were 6 or 7 of them, and they were found around mid-Michigan or northern Michigan.
Yeah.
And they were dispersed. It was all over the news, you know. Oh, fuck, these people are crazy terrorists, you know.
Right.
And one of them that was hiding out about 30, 40 miles away from, maybe not even 20 miles away from my house. And they had a motherfucking tank roll down the street of this town that's no more than 200 people to get this guy. I believe he ended up being like 19 years old, and he was hiding out in like his uncle's house. They had like 50 cops out there. They had tanks rolling down the road for this fucking 19-year-old dude that was supposedly, you know, part of this militia that was going to attack D.C. or whatever. You know, it was just fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, that's nuts. I don't remember that, but
you don't remember that militia?
I know stuff like
that. You know, the funny part is I haven't heard anything about them going to fucking jail or anything, but I'm going to see if I can find a deal with
well,
that.
That was supposed to happen. They had, remember the one just happened a few months ago, 6 months ago in Connecticut, where that guy, he wasn't a militia, but he got up there and he basically just said they passed all those strict gun laws in Connecticut or whatever, and he said we're not, you know, we're not turning our guns in, and the guy, I don't know if it was a federal judge or somebody, maybe it was the governor, said we're going to start doing door-to-door searches and you're going to have to turn your guns in. And the guy, I think he was the ex, he was ex-military or whatever. He's like, I'm not going to turn my guns in. He said, and we're going to have a war. He said, we're going to fight the state police. We're going to fight, you know, the whoever you bring in here, and we're going to fight, and a lot of people are going to die. And it was like 5-6 months ago. It was in Connecticut, and I kept seeing all kinds of posts about it for a few weeks. And then I haven't heard nothing else about it since then.
Funny how that shit, well, you know, they're probably in some fucking black site somewhere, you know, in some secret prison, a floating fucking prison, you know, ship out in an ocean somewhere. You never hear from the motherfuckers again. Who knows, man? I mean, you know, and now because of the Patriot Act, they have a fucking right to do that. Or whoever they want, American citizen or not,
right.
And they can haul them away without any sort of charges, keep you incarcerated for as long as they want, man, until you die if they want. It's
right.
Hasta la vista, baby.
They call it, it's the Huttery, Michigan Militia, and there's an article March 30th, 2010 on Fox News site. Militia accused of plotting war on the U.S. government. 7 men and 1 woman believed to be part of the group called the Huttery were arrested over the weekend. And the dude that ended up down here, like I said, he was about 20 miles away. He was one of the last ones, you know. And I'm sure they were sitting around shooting the shit, fucking cleaning their guns, being dumb rednecks. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Hey, let's go fucking do, you know. And one of them probably ratted or they're being bugged somehow. And that,
right.
You know, that's all she wrote, man. They ended up dispersing. They ended up arresting those people all over the state.
My
right.
advice to you, start drinking heavily.
But old Michigan, dude, they got some fucking, they got some radicals coming out of the state. The, you know, McVeigh, that Terry Nichols dude hit a farm
in
central Michigan. And I think they may have built some of the bomb, McVeigh and Nichols, out in that. Out in his farm.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, apparently they had a little help too from the CIA bombs in the building.
Yeah.
So they didn't build all the bombs. The fertilizer bomb.
Yeah, right.
That's another show topic for another day.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City bombing.
Yeah, Well, you know, one of those other things you can't question anymore. You're insane.
You're a wacko.
Yeah. 9/11 especially, such a fucking linchpin. Everyone's, you know, you question anything about 9/11 and you're a conspiracy theorist right off the bat.
Danger,
road.
Danger.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's Jesse Ventura.
Yep, you're a wacko.
Right? He's on a lot of talk shows, man. You know, he's a truther, man. He knows that the fucking government was involved, and that's his angle when he talks. I can't even question it anymore. Well, how did wouldn't
that,
that happen? Where I can't question what they say, you know, happened on that day. And
who are you talking about, Dennis?
Jesse Ventura.
Oh, Ventura.
Jesse Ventura.
Yeah.
You know, he's pretty high profile, man. And
right.
He knows
well, he's
a lot.
He's actually got a little bit of credibility.
I like Ventura. He's pretty polarizing, also. But he's fucking straight talker. He's no bullshit. And I like one of my favorite stories of his is when he was elected governor. You know, and he was elected third party governor.
I know what you're going to talk about.
And the fucking CIA brought him down to the bowels of the state capitol building. And he still tells the story over and over that there were 10 or 12 CIA agents, and they're asking him what his intentions were as governor. And I believe it was on either the day he was voted in or the next day. I mean, it was like right around the election. And they hauled his ass down into the fucking basement.
They had bright lights on him, sitting there.
Yeah.
They were sitting around him in a circle. He couldn't see
them.
They were sitting in the darkness. They wouldn't identify themselves. What's that?
The governor of Minnesota, man. They fucking manhandled in his own state capitol building. And his point was, what the fuck is the CIA doing in the state capitol? What are they doing in state politics? And again, it goes back to the answer every single time: the government has too much money. We've got CIA agents everywhere in the fucking state capitol building in Minnesota, which means they're probably in every single state capitol building in the country, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you got to know the CIA's got people in every state capitol building.
Oh, they've got everything bugged. I'm sure house is bugged. They're asking Jesse this.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
That's probably what
that was about it. Yeah, they were scared of him. You know, they didn't know what the fuck to be. You know, because he's not a politician. I mean, he's a no bullshitter. He fucking just says it as it is. I don't agree with everything he says, and some of it's a little, you know. But that's any politician, you know, including Obama, whoever. You know, I mean, that's any politician.
Wish he would have distanced himself from Alex Jones a little bit, because I get this weird feeling that Alex Jones is a provocateur. He's just so wacky and nutty.
Yep.
I don't know where all his money came from to do this show, and he got it when he was really young, at his own TV station and everything. He got set up in that role, and he like delegitimizes all these topics. He talks about them, but just the way he's so wacky and crazy and making jokes and acting. He does so much stuff where he's like looks like a maniac, and they can do these little sound bites of him where he looks like he's insane, and it really delegitimizes the whole movement and delegitimizes the points that are, you know, they're actually good points and good questions to ask what's going on, but the way he goes about it, you know, standing out there with a megaphone saying, "You're not gonna poison our waters. The answer to this is 1776."
Right.
You know, all that shit, dude. It's just it makes you. I mean. Is he right? Yeah, he's right, but the way he goes about it, it makes everybody else look like nutbags. And I think a lot of people are distancing themselves from him.
I absolutely agree with you. I think he's there to delegitimize all of this shit. And I think there's certain shit that he knew that was coming up. He predicted 9/11 almost down to a T.
Right.
Saudi Arabians hijacking a building or hijacking a plane and flying it into the World Trade Center. I mean, he predicted some specifics like 6 months before it happened. And there's a lot of shit that he finds, and he uses references for the most part. Here it was reported from here, and here, or whatever else, on a lot of what he does. But some of what he hammers on seems very specific to, like, espionage stuff, man.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, embedded information that he has exclusive rights to or exclusive knowledge to. It just doesn't seem right. And so this is what I think you're on it. I think they feed him information. Here's my crazy conspiracy theory about the crazy conspiracy theorist. Here it is.
Right.
But I think they feed him information. He goes out and reports on it and then talks about it, and it gets crazier and crazier as it goes along. So he delegitimizes whatever information that he's been fed. And, you know, I mean, I've seen him in video clips where he's dressed up as, like, the Joker, like the Heath Ledger Joker.
Yeah, right,
and
right.
He's running around passing out Obama flyers that look just like that also. You know?
I know.
And, I mean,
hey,
he's
we gotta call, we gotta
I mean,
call
he's
her.
Fucking, dude, he's flipped out, man. I mean, he's gone.
Yeah, he's insane.
And, you know, I mean, it's so he
does. Oh, nice guy.
And then whenever he gets on these fucking national TV shows like CNN and CNN a few times, and where, you know, and they, of course, bring him on to try and bring on the nutbag conspiracy theorists, but he talks about legitimate issues that have serious concern, but he does it in such a way that they're fucking laughing at his ass by the time they're done talking to him.
Right.
You know?
He's just screamed at what? He was on the one show, not Wolf Blitzer, it was another one, was it Anderson Cooper? I don't know, he was on one of them.
Piers
Morgan.
He was
Piers
Morgan.
He was screaming at him like he went. He lost his mind. I was like, oh my god. Well, Dennis, hey, we got a caller, so I'm gonna see if we can get this guy on whoever it is. And why is that doing it?
No, you're doing it all wrong.
Yep, I'm doing it all wrong. Where is it? Oh, here we go.
You're right.
Hello, caller. Who? What's your name and where do you hail from?
It's Hill, Brooke
Hello.
Lucy.
Oh, there he is.
It's a crush.
Hill,
Brooke
Lucy.
Change of days.
Long
him up.
West Virginia. Long time no here, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Trying to hold my temper down.
Yeah. I bet you're hot. I'm pretty mellow tonight. I kind of mellowed out after a few days of being on fire about the whole Supreme Court decision and all that with the Hobby Lobby stuff. But I can understand people are still pissed off. It's pretty pathetic.
I think we're just seeing the beginning of the shit storm. It's going to be through the roof, man. Tomorrow's not Independence Day anymore. On Monday, we went back. Straight back to what the founding fathers ran away from.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Theocratic rule.
You know, I was just talking about that, man. Right, the First Amendment, and we're allowing it to happen. We're stomping all over the fucking First Amendment, man. Well, I tell you what, and not only the Hobby Lobby rule. Did you see there was another one? I believe it was today. It's on rawstory.com. It says the female justice's dissent. As Supreme Court lets Christian college opt out of birth control law.
Right. Oh, yeah, it's just getting started.
So
Rick Warren, a whole bunch of evangelicals, wrote a letter to President Obama asking him to forego the national law, executive order, I believe, making it illegal to discriminate against anyone for their sexual nature. I mean, there's the landslide has already started. I predicted it and others predicted it. A lot of people said, it's going to take months. It's not going to be all that bad. It's every hour there's a new, like you said, this raw story coming out. There are all of these evangelicals are now approaching and asking for these privileges just because of Hobby Lobby. And the way it was worded, they'll get them.
Well, I have an idea. Let's start the Church of Atheists, and then we can start opting out of any government decision that we don't like either.
Right. Well, I've always talked about every now and then joining the Church of Satan just to rub it in her face, because the first rule, satanic rule in the Church of Satan is do not be stupid and do not tolerate stupidity. Well, that means you would never have to serve a Christian. That'd be a violation of the seated faith.
Right. Yep, that's true. Oh, man, well, I missed it. Where's the rim shot on that? I'll give you a belated rim shot.
All right.
It's going to be anything. They're going to choose to opt out of whatever the hell they want now on religious grounds.
Well, Chris Hedges, y'all read Chris Hedges?
No. Yeah,
I know.
He's on Truth Out a lot.
Chris Hedges is the best all around, from my opinion, and a lot of others too. The best writer in the world on politics, social rules, and religion. And he said it's going to come a lot faster than you think. He said theocratic corporate tyranny will be here before the 2016 election. And he was right.
Well, hey Fester, Chris Hedges wrote that article on Chomsky that I sent out that was called American Socrates. That article it was written by Hedges. So he's
that was an excellent article.
Yeah, it was
Noam
good article.
Noam Chomsky.
Yep.
Right.
Go
ahead.
Hedges is so credible because he'll attack a liberal, too. You know, anyone who's out of line with human morals or the Constitution or just, you know, what's flat right and wrong.
That's why I like Greenwald. Greenwald is the same way, man. He a lot of liberals do not like him, and he's even been called out on TV interviews about it, saying, you know, you seem to be fighting against a lot of people that are looking hard to support you, but you know, he's following a line. He's not looking for specific support from anybody.
That's it. You've got to follow truth. You have to follow truth. You cannot be loyal to your party if your party is done got hooked into a lie. You have to clean out your own house.
Right.
Yep. Yeah. That's well, I tell you what, man. Truth is a dangerous thing nowadays, and the people that speak it outright, they're Greenwald doesn't even live. You know, he was the one responsible for publishing the Snowden revelations, all of the Snowden
mm-hmm.
stuff. And he still has a lot of stuff he hasn't even published because he fears for whatever repercussions, internationally or whatever else. But he doesn't even live in the U.S. anymore. He lives in like Brazil. You know, he's a gay dude. And his partner flew to England, and they arrested him for trying to undermine the government. And I haven't heard, I don't know if they released him or not. I think they finally did, but they held him for like a week. They held his partner for a week in England for like trying to overthrow the UK government. So there's some people seriously scared of Greenwald too. And he's the same way as Hedges, where it doesn't matter if it's a right or left issue. This is what's going on.
Right.
You know, and you guys, you know, people need to know about it.
That's right. Yeah. Hedges is a liberal. I'm a liberal. But as soon as, you know, I'm an atheist. I mean, as soon as you see your sidetrack, I mean, truth, with, you know, if you're just going to appeal for mass votes, you're just like the right wing or every other corporate motherfucker.
Right. But what me and Des were just talking about, we're not, I mean, we're pretty much most of the time, I think we side with liberal, Democrat, atheist. But, I mean, there's some things, like, we, you know, I kind of believe in smaller government, and we kind of
mm-hmm.
believe the military and police forces are out of control, and they're just,
they are.
They've gotten such a massive structure going now, and it's so, they're really dehumanized towards citizens, you know, rights, and really, the whole thing is not really set up to protect normal citizens, everyday citizens. It's just basically their security guards for these corporations and protecting corporate interests. They're not in the business of helping, you know, everyday people. There's no more Barney Fifes walking around and Andy Griffiths walking around helping get the cat out of the tree. They don't get the cat out of the tree. They knock the tree over with a tracked military vehicle, and then they blow your door in, and they gotta
shoot the cat. One of their favorite activities nowadays is shooting dogs. They'll walk into someone's yard, and if it's the slightest bit menacing at all, they'll just kill it nowadays. They're just, almost every day you're seeing a report of a cop killing dogs somewhere. You know, just they're asking the people sitting on the steps, you know, inside a fenced in yard. There's this one lady that came out. She was saying, "Don't come in the yard. My dog doesn't like strangers. Don't come in the yard." He walks into the yard. The dog barks at him. He shoots it dead right in front of the family. You know, and over and over, and I mean, the shit's happening constantly, and it's not only like their weaponry that's going on. I mean, not only are they looking like stormtroopers nowadays, but they're acting like it. They're starting to act like it, and that's the scary thing. And that's where I'm torn. Like, I mean, there's so many morons in the Tea Party; it's unbelievable. But they are also there campaigning for smaller government. In those realms, minimizing the military, minimizing the police, and I agree with that. If the liberals could get on board with that, I'd probably be even more so liberal. But there's so many nowadays that are accepting the police state and don't even want to talk about it. You have so many people that are so scared to even consider what's going on right now in the country, and most of them are liberals, man. They don't even want to consider it. They don't want to talk about it.
And
that's what kills me about liberals, man. So I don't know, man. I'm all torn. I'm all over the place. I'm definitely left-leaning, But when it comes to those situations, man, the government has got to get smaller, and people have got to do something about it. You probably missed it, man. I just went through some statistics about SWAT teams in the U.S. just before you called, and I'll just do one. In 1980, there were 3,000 SWAT raids in the U.S. Yearly nowadays, in the last few years, there have been 80,000 SWAT raids in the U.S.
Yeah.
80,000.
Yeah, they're going after an ounce of pot.
And it's right. 80% of those are private residences.
Yeah, it's
so
insane.
I mean, so it's bad. And your average liberal doesn't want to talk about that. And the only one who really is are these crazy fucking Tea Party people. You know, so
right.
It's like, you know, the dude dressed up as Benjamin Franklin and shit, and he's spelling words wrong on the sign he's holding and shit, you know. He's right in a certain respect about that shit, you know. And that's where I'm all fucking torn, man.
But here's the way I see fighting that battle. The out-of-hand police force is there by design. They're going to be there to protect and do the will of the corporate theocratic tyranny. So attacking the police force isn't attacking the problem, because the root of the problem is still going to be there. What SCOTUS did Monday was the result, is the reason why all this other shit has been going down for years.
Yep.
And the apathy of the left is the enemy of the left. The apathy.
Yep, I agree.
If the left don't get up and get pissed off and balance this thing out, you know, that's why I make my videos. I'm so brash, I gotta try to make up for all the pussyfoot and, you know, apathy. But
yeah,
people need to. There's one thing people need to understand. This damn thing Monday had not a thing to do with deep entrenched faith. Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. It had everything to do with corporate theocratic tyranny putting a steeple on a corporation.
Yeah.
And then they'll use their cops to protect yourself.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I keep flashing back. A majority of Americans have come to accept ongoing, never-ending war. And it's bled into our police forces here in America. And, you know, Orwell wrote about that all the time, man. He wrote about how eventually there was going to be worldwide war, and the people in the country where the troops are from wouldn't even know. They'd go about their daily business, you know, without a thought. And that's what's happening nowadays. I mean, it used to be you would sit at the dinner table during Vietnam, and you'd sit at the dinner table, you'd see people being shot and killed on the nightly news. You'd see people being zipped up in body bags and being sent back. You'd see the coffins being unloaded at the airport from all these people that have been killed in war. Now you don't see any of that. What you see now are homecomings. Happy homecomings. Oh, dad's back from the war. Oh, mom's been gone for you. Oh, you know, and they set up surprises at baseball games and shit like that.
Yeah.
And it's all been erased from people's thought process, man. That whole thing, the coffins, the death that occurs in war, the cost of it, the people of that country. I mean, when's the last time you've seen an Afghani on TV? You know, I mean, their village being burnt, whatever, bombed.
Well, they learn,
you know, you don't see any of that.
The corporate power learned from Vietnam. See, those images and that news, I remember I was delivering a newspaper when I was 12 years old, and front page every day, so many dead in whatever hill or whatever. They learned that that helped bring the Vietnam War to an end. They said, well, we can't let that coverage out anymore.
But you know, in the 60s, you're right, and that they flush that from people's heads. But you know, in the 60s, man, it used to be the liberals, man. They were out in the streets. They were getting their heads bashed in by the Chicago cops during the 68 Democratic Convention protesting the war, and most of your left, your quote unquote left wing liberals were against war, and you can't say that mm-hmm. anymore. I mean, you can't even say that. There's so many that accept it now as a way almost of life, you know? Fucking ongoing war.
That's why I'm promoting open carry hammer.
Yeah.
Knock the hell.
He's talking about open carry hammers, having a claw hammer on you, open carry.
Oh, no, and a 32-ounce can of Bush's baked beans, you know. You walk up to them, you don't look like a threat, and you knock the shit out of them and call the cops on them. Potential mass shooter laying in the road.
Right, right.
Yeah, the left has to get fired up. We got the left just got to get fired up.
Yeah, and I don't know, man. All of politics, you got right and left. I don't really subscribe to that because I do certainly fall in the middle in a lot of instances. The whole political process for the left and the right are doing them no good, no favors.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's whether you're voting for someone, a Democrat. Most Democrats are voting for austerity measures. Almost all Republicans are voting for austerity measures. You know, and most Democrats are corporate Democrats right now. I mean, their hook, line, and sinker been bought by corporations, and that's their interest at this point. It's not their constituents, man. It's the corporation that's giving them the most money.
Exactly.
Well, you have to look into which corporations, though.
Well, that's a problem because of fucking the Supreme Court people. What was that Supreme Court that allowed black money into politics just in the last year or two? Another absolutely historically horrible decision by the Supreme Court allowing what was the name of that ruling?
Citizens United.
What's that?
Citizens United.
Citizens United. That's it. Citizens United ruling by the Supreme Court. And now, I mean, there's black money in politics everywhere, man.
Our
politicians are now. Yeah,
there's
no regulation whatsoever anymore, man. So our politicians are gone.
Dennis, real quick, we got another caller on the line.
All right, bring him on.
See if he wants to join.
You can stay
on,
man.
No, stay on there. Stay out there, Lucy. Yeah. We're gonna have four way going here. Hey, caller, what's your name? Where you hail from?
What's up, man? It's Crusher.
Oh,
hey, Crusher, what's
Crusher.
Going
All right.
on?
All right,
what's
we got
on?
Chris
what's
Crusher. We got you. We got Hell Broke Lucy on the other line.
Yeah.
So we got four lines going.
We're just talking about the apathy of the left right now and how they used to be, you know, against war and stuff, and it's all accepted and. Our politics have been bought from it, you know. The Citizens United ruling was the death, was the fucking nail in the last nail in the coffin for democracy, man. Unless they do something about that.
They knew that was anti-constitutional, and they did it anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, which they've been doing quite a bit. I mean,
they knew
the money
decision was anti-constitutional.
Yeah. You know, and I was asking earlier, how does it happen? And, I know, Lucy, you may not agree with this, but I think Obama's one of the worst presidents we've had, not worse than Bush. I think Bush was probably the worst president we've had. But how is it we've got such terrible, terrible federal representatives for our government in the executive branch, in the judicial branch, in the legislative branch? I mean, and it all comes back to money. I mean, by many standards, it's the worst Supreme Court we've ever had, worst Congress we've ever had, and now many popular polls are putting Obama as one of the worst presidents we've ever had. How does that happen? That can't be coincidence, right? I mean, it's got to be the money influencing it.
Give me an example of something that they're calling – one of the worst, just like executive branch or something. Wasn't it an example of something bad?
Example of Obama?
Yeah.
The unconstitutional drone strikes. He's killing American citizens with drones. and violating international law with them at the same time? Or how
right.
about all the dark prisons that are still around? Or how about Guantanamo that he promised to close? Or how about Afghanistan that he's continued on 8 years since Bush? I mean, he has basically continued many, if not all, of the foreign policies of W. Almost every single one.
He's been blocked at every turn on closing Guantanamo by Congress. He's been blocked on every turn. See, now, a president will make a promise. And when a president, if they can deliver a third of their promises, they've done really good because most promises involve Congress and the Senate. All right, now the drone strikes.
You know what, that Guantanamo deal, he could let those people out tomorrow if he wanted to. And
the very example of that
is those people he traded for Bergdahl. Those six guys he traded for Bergdahl, that POW in Afghanistan. He went and did that on his own, traded six people right out of Guantanamo without any knowledge of Congress. He's the president, and right now the president has so damn much power in the executive branch that if he wanted to, he could close Guantanamo or do a whole lot of other things. But right now, he's towing the corporate line.
Well,
all the money he gave to the banks, the trillions he gave to the banks, and that money was sapped from the middle class and the poor people, which proves that presidency, that office of the presidency, is not the one running the gig. Guy comes up as a community organizer, helping the poor people in the country, and now we have record poverty in the country. Him giving trillions of dollars to the richest people in the country, the bankers. There's something wrong, man. There's something wrong. That's not a man coming from poor neighborhoods helping poor people out.
Definitely not in control. He's definitely not in control of what's going on, I don't think. I mean, I don't think a lot of this stuff is coming from him. I think that those guys, they go to they have their conferences years before they even run, and they get down there with the Clintons and everybody, and they just tell them, this is what you're going to do. You're going to fight these wars. You're going to get this oil here. You're going to give tax cuts to all these different oil companies and this and that. And that's what you're going to do. And if you don't like it, if you get elected, we'll just get rid of you. I mean, I think that's what they do.
Let me rebut here. First thing, the fact is over half of the Guantanamo detainees are completely innocent when they arrest them.
I agree. You're right. You're absolutely right with that. Maybe more.
They created these terrorists. They are now terrorists.
Yep.
We created them. We have nowhere to put them. Obama saw the opportunity to get rid of five of them and change them, exchange for Bergdahl, which was a smart move because the only thing we know about Bergdahl is he walked off his post. He's still the responsibility of the United States. Just for trading five people who were never guilty to start with, this was an opportunity to get rid of five. They want to impeach him for that, even though Bush released 78. All right, we got that problem. All right, then twice Obama has come in to tax the elite to take it up to 38%, and the Republicans make attachments to that bill that will raise the taxes for the lower and the middle class, so that if Obama gets his way with a tax on the elite, which will offset some of this economic crisis, then he's going to be the bad guy for taxing the middle class too. So he's abandoned trying to tax the elite until he gets a Congress. Now, it's my bet that if he gets a blue Congress in November and the Senate stays blue, the tax on the elite is going to go to 38%. Now, with the drones, Israel is pulling those strings. Everybody forgets that we signed a contract with Israel after World War II that we have their back completely on every single
thing.
Come on, man.
Are you referencing some archaic agreement with Israel
to justify drone
strikes on American citizens? Come on, man.
I haven't heard of American citizens.
I'm hitting the BS button right there. Boom.
Where,
and I tell you what, man.
What Americans
that is to, that is the worst justification for drone strikes. And I tell
what?
You what, man, what's going to happen is just wait until you see one on American soil. It'll be like in an outlying territory.
Oh,
it'll be like Guam. It'll be like Guam or something. And then it'll be like the Aleutian Islands, you know. And it'll get closer and closer. But eventually, man, those strikes are going to end up in some neighborhood in America, and it's gonna happen because they're already killing American citizens, right? They've killed 4 or 5 with the extrajudiciously, meaning you know outside of the Constitution. No concern for it whatsoever. Obama, as a constitutional lawyer graduating from Harvard, of course knows that. And he's violating directly and intentionally the Constitution.
Can anybody
he's a war criminal. According to Noam Chomsky, one of the most preeminent, intelligent people, geniuses, MIT professor, he is a war criminal, and I agree with him. Obama is a war criminal.
Name me an American citizen that's been droned.
Well, I can't because they all have Arab names.
That's right, because there are none.
And that's why people don't give a shit. If it was Joe Smith that got bombed, there'd be a whole lot of pissed off people. But because it's an Arab, and he had an Arab name, no one gives
Arab
a shit about him. Those four people, they're Arab Americans. They're born in America. They're deemed terrorists by some secret cabal within our government that deems people terrorists, and killed. Outside of the Constitution, period. I don't see how you can defend it, man. I don't. You know, Obama or not, man. I bought into his hope and change shit. I was hoping that would be the case, but it's not at all.
He's W-2.
He's George W-2. He's Junior.
I know. A million dead people in Iraq under Obama. 1 million dead under George Bush and Dick Cheney.
I'm not saying they're good either. That's the problem. He continued everything they'd done. That's the whole problem with it. You know?
Nobody can name an American citizen. It's all conspiracy, but I can tell you today.
All right. Let me pull it up. American citizen killed by drone. It'll be right in front of me within 2 minutes here.
Isn't that a daisy?
I got a question about the Guantanamo prisoners.
Yeah,
Al-Awlaki. That's one of the American citizens. Anwar Al-Awlaki. That's one of the citizens being killed by U.S. citizen killed by drone. Here's a question to CBS News: who were the four citizens killed in drone strikes? I'll pull it up and give you all the names here when it pulls up. But they're all Muslim names, so no one gives a shit about them. You know, they can call them terrorists all they want because they've got Muslim names.
Right.
Omar Al-Awlaki, Samir Khan. This guy.
I want to see a birth certificate.
Samir Khan.
Yeah.
Jude Kenan Mohammed.
I want to see a birth certificate.
Abdul Rahman. Well, man, you're sounding like the Taylor Oritz lady or whatever, man. You're looking for a birth certificate. You're a birther. You still call your birther now, Lucy? Come on. Abdul Rahman Al-Awlaki. Yeah. So there they are. There's the four that were killed by drones, American citizens. So it won't matter until Joe Smith is killed. And then once Joe Smith gets hit by one, gets one shoved up his ass and blown up, then people start getting worried about it.
Maybe if they would have wiped out the Bundy Ranch with a couple of drones, then everybody would have been in an uproar because there'd been a white Republican old white guy. Everybody would have been like, "Oh God!"
Wipe out the Bundy Ranch. That would have been a little bit of flashpoint, huh? That would have got a couple people mad.
But you're ignoring. You're ignoring the complications of the Middle East, which factually begin with
which
our
are all also covered business. Under our Constitution, man. They're Americans. You can't say this is the problem. This is a slippery slope. Is you know those guys are okay to be killed, but not us because of the Constitution. Because of the Constitution, it's okay for him to make the exception with those guys, but not with us. You can't say that. I mean, either they're protected and we're protected, or they're not protected and we're not protected.
Well, nobody's protected under the Patriot Act.
Nothing
nobody's
is protected
under
the Patriot Act.
Patriot.
But, you know, I mean, assassinated American citizens with drones, man, that's about as bad as it gets, and it's so clearly unconstitutional. It's not even funny. I mean,
that sounds like a whole lot like the atheist Muslim accusation I've heard about him for so long.
Atheist Muslim.
Atheist Muslim.
Yeah, the same people that are claiming the exact same people that are claiming that Obama is intentionally striking American citizens call him an atheist Muslim, and I dismiss them completely as stupid beyond redemption.
Well, I'm not
that
calling him
stupid.
That. I think he's an atheist. I really do think he's an atheist.
No, they call him atheist Muslim. Atheist Muslim.
Yeah. Oh, you know.
That's a Tea Party.
Anybody that calls him a Muslim isn't paying attention to what's going on, because he's killed
yeah.
more Muslims than anybody in history, really. I mean, he's killed as many Muslims as the damn Crusades. He's starting to challenge the Crusades. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, it's like you can't call him a Muslim. I mean, you know, just because
yeah.
his name is ignorant.
I mean, we got forces all through Africa, secret forces, you know, fighting,
yeah, wasn't,
fighting Muslims in Africa.
When the Gaza Strip get bombed, and he didn't do anything either.
What's that?
Yeah.
When the Gaza Strip got bombed, he didn't do anything? What was that?
What, got drone bombed? I'm sure they had
A while back, I think in his first term.
See, that's where the real crime's happening in Palestine. We're going to have Israel's back no matter how wrong
right.
Israel is.
Right, I agree
is.
With that entirely. Yeah. Well, you know, well, not only that, but Saudi Arabia, man. Saudi Arabia is one of the most heinous countries in the world. That Wasabi law or whatever they're trying to, you know, impose. I mean, they're chopping people's hands off and whipping people, yeah. killing people. You know, they're more radical than maybe any other country on the face of the earth and
right.
their allies. And according to them, you know, I mean, 16 of them flew planes into the buildings in you know, 9/11 in the U.S. So I don't know how we're allies with those people. Well, I do. Again,
oil.
It goes back
yeah.
to oil.
Well, I wanted to get back to Guantanamo Bay about the prisoners
yeah,
that have been
ahead,
released. Doesn't the president have the executive power to override just about anything to get
to
them
do
out?
Do anything.
And don't they also pardon people all the time during their terms? Or
yes.
I mean,
normally at the
why?
End of it, they pardon a ton of people, but
the
executive power
is granted
to him by
the
Patriot Act. He can do anything.
The problem
nowadays.
With the pardon is you have to have been sentenced and went through the court of law. They haven't went through any kind of court.
That's
or been
true.
Sentenced anything. So,
there you go.
So
they've been there for how many
pardoned.
Years? 10 years, and they haven't been charged.
Yeah, what's he pardoning them from?
Right.
Pardoning them from the military. Forces that basically did a UMJC on them, and they're not even in the military. I mean, they just basically
when
put
I
them
say,
away.
Well, yeah, when I say pardon, I just mean I'm just correlating it with, you know, his executive
yeah,
power to basically be able to
kick
get
them
out and let people
he
go.
Wanted, man. He could kick them anytime he wanted. It's see you later and make some excuse for it and, you know, whatever they want. Make
we still
them,
have a,
make
have
up
a Delta Force,
someone's going to believe and they could be gone. You know.
Don't we still have a Delta Force?
Yeah.
You send Chuck Norris down there and get him out.
Chuck Norris.
Free from Guantanamo. We can have some SEALs land on the beach and free have a firefight and free the prisoners from Guantanamo.
Yeah, Chuck Norris, have that expendable Chuck Norris, friggin' Schwarzenegger, friggin' send them all,
yeah,
all the old actors down there.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
that's like one of the most highly landmine areas in the world is around Guantanamo, the prison. There's massive landmines. Fields all over.
What kills me is Guantanamo is Cheney's and Bush's baby. They birthed it, raised it. No waterboarding has taken place since Obama took office.
Right.
They waterboarded the fuck out of everybody and made terrorists out
yeah.
of men. And now everybody wants to blame Obama, the same as they're blaming him for the bullshit in Iraq right now that Bush and Cheney created.
Hell.
So Cheney could make, $78 billion with Halliburton. They killed 1 million innocent women and children.
Hell.
Right.
See, I'm not blaming Obama for Guantanamo. I'm saying how
Why is he not able to get him out?
He could resolve it. He could put that many
privileges
that he has not.
That Obama don't have. You know, he can't be a dictator.
Right.
I don't know, man. Bush certainly tried as mighty to be that way, and I think he did a pretty good job. You know, the thing is Bush just looked like it. He was an absolute asshole. This is the difference between Bush and Obama. Obama's way slicker about it, man. You know, he Harvard Law, you know, Bush came in and said, this is the way it's going to go, and fuck you if you don't like it. He was just an absolute dickhead about it and just hammered down people's throats. Obama, he'll never address it. He doesn't even talk about drones. He won't. He refuses to even talk about drones or whatever else. I mean, you know, Congress is stopping me from releasing people from Guantanamo. That's bullshit, man. If he wanted to, he could. I mean, he could get it done. And that's the problem.
That.
Is he's a continuation of Bush in so many areas. Foreign policy, economic, I mean, we have record poverty, man. Record poverty.
Whoa.
And that was from the trillions that we gave the bankers. And we saw that shit from the middle class and the poor people.
Bush gave most of the money to bankers.
I agree. No, not most of it, but he gave a lot. Bush gave a couple trillion, and so and Obama gave much more. Now, they're the ones, to me, man, the banks are the ones causing all of this. I mean, we're talking about the armed Guantanamo, our military forces all over the world. That's the banking system. It's the people making money off of it that are the ones causing it. You know, as long as we make money off of killing other people, it won't stop, no matter who the president is.
Right. As I said, you guys have to agree to disagree, because I know Lucy's a pretty big Obama supporter, and we're basically not, but, you know. I wanted to support him. I was hoping, you know, I was, you know, wanting him to be different and everything, but I mean, I didn't have a lot of hope for it.
I liked him a lot more in his first term, to be honest.
Yeah.
Let me go on this one fact. On January 16th, 2009, Mitch McConnell led 8 Republican senators. They made a vow that the entire next 4 years will be spent blocking every move that this one single black bastard makes. And if he happens to get in there another 4 years, they will spend that 4 years for him having the audacity to parade around a White House black. Now, if Obama comes out in support of breathing tomorrow, those sons of bitches will be anti-breath. That is how stupid the right wing is. No president in the history of America has ever faced the obstructionism that a Barack Obama has for having the audacity to be born in a country that didn't even exist.
Yeah, I agree. That's how they're able to justify they being the Republicans. A lot of what's been happening is because of racial issues. I mean, they could do whatever they want because he is a black president. I mean, they can do whatever all the southern white boys can do whatever they want, you know, as long as it's against the black man in the White House. So
if he's got legitimate shortcomings, they should be able to people should be able to call him out with the race car being pulled.
Right.
You know,
I agree with that. That's the problem is you can't also give them a pass on it, man. Which, you know, I guess if you're African American, you almost have to. He's the first ever in the White House, you know, but he hasn't helped them. I mean, record poverty numbers. More poor people, you know, on food stamps than ever before. I mean, more people getting shot in the streets, man. More, you know, crime. terrible crime rates because of the economy and I don't think that he's done anybody any favors except for the 1%, except for the military industrial complex. I certainly am not better off than when he took office. I can guarantee you that.
Right.
I don't know anybody else on the line that is. I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I know myself I'm not. And if you could ask 10 people, I'm willing to bet you 8 out of 10 would say the same thing, that they're not better off in their standard of living than when he took office.
In the overhaul of his second term came around for the voting, between our two options, I think we really did at least pick the better of the two.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem.
Well, yeah.
There's only two.
That didn't say
there's
a lot,
only
but...
two options. That's it.
Right.
Did you see Romney's talking about running again?
There's no. I know. We need some more magic.
I mean, man. And, you know, that was the thing. That's why I was so vehemently opposed against Hillary, man. If Hillary had been voted into office, it would have been 25 straight years of either a Bush or a Clinton in office.
Right.
If that's bad news. If that isn't, and I think she's got a lock for 2016 too. I mean, I think it's a done deal that she's president of the U.S. after Obama. But it's just 25 consecutive years of a Clinton or a Bush. It was too mafioso for me, man. It was too all in the family.
Right.
I could take it.
Whatever it takes to get Bill back in the office, I'll vote
for
it.
I like it, man. He should have never said that he didn't smoke weed, man, and never inhaled it. He should have been like, hell yeah, smoked weed. You see pictures of them in college, man. They're hippies in college. If they weren't weed smokers, I don't know who were. So, old Slick Willie, man, the country was doing pretty good when he was in office. And with him, you know, it all came down to a blowjob.
It really was.
I mean, the whole country was fascinated by the president getting a blowjob, man. It's baffling.
Right.
It was ridiculous.
Well, they were, you know, trying to find anything to bring him down, and that was it. You know, that was the thing that brought him down. So I don't know about brought him down entirely, but certainly he was impeached for it. It didn't.
It brought
didn't
Monica
stick,
down.
But yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. To me, the federal level of government is completely lost. There will be nothing good coming out of our executive, judicial, or legislative branches maybe ever again that I see. It's anything good is going to come at your local level, your state level. If any changes are going to be made, it's got to be at a local level because we're lost to the federal government. I mean, all those people are getting paid off by any sort of corporation that's willing to give them money, and they just don't give a shit about the American people anymore.
Do you think Congress vote against feeding veterans has anything to do with it?
Hey, what's that?
Do you think that Congress voting against giving any care to veterans that come home has anything to do with it?
If we weren't sending them over there in the first place, that wouldn't be a problem, right? I mean, that's
Bush
the whole thing of it.
Bush
we're looking at ass backwards, man. Well,
Bush
I mean, yeah, these people should be cared for, absolutely. They went over and were injured in war zone, and we should do everything to take care of them. But they shouldn't be over there in the first place, the majority of them.
Who's some?
You know?
All right, guys, well, we have to start wrapping it up here in a couple minutes. We've got about 3 minutes.
All right, man. Well, thanks for calling
in,
guys.
Called in Crusher and Lucy. Nice talking to you guys. And
do we have
another timer
showing up or what, man? You know?
All right, bro.
When's the next show?
I'll do it next Thursday.
Next Thursday, all right.
I'll do it next Thursday.
All right,
same time.
Good.
All right.
All right.
Well, take it easy. Keep it cool. And Mr. Fish.
13
Alpha.